what happens is you sacrifice, right? We've gotten through, we've got our vision, we got our mindset, we've focused on the five, you know, step profit formula, we've got our target market, we're making conversions, all of those things in place, we've clearly got our vision on track, and now we have no time. Our families are suffering, our personal relationships, our health and wellness, we're gaining weight or we're not eating well, you know, we're not exercising and getting out in the air, you know, we're spending too much time in front of a screen. So all of these things are critical to actually having the success that feels good,
yeah,
right? It's not just measured by a bank account, because at the end of the day, that's an empty goal.
You're listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
Today, I am absolutely delighted to welcome none other than Christine Parakis to the show. Christine, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Matthew. I'm so excited to be here.
Let me tell everyone a little bit about you, and I'm probably going to ruin it because we were talking earlier and you just deliver this succinct, distilled piece of information that I would never be able to replicate. But you are a business strategist. You're a best-selling author. You're a speaker with over 25 years of experience. You're a business advisor. You're an attorney, a mentor, a team builder. You're a business owner. You've raised capital. You've been a partner in the business. You're an entrepreneur. You've launched new products, new services. And you're a professional boat captain.
As if that wasn't enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, so what have you been doing with your life?
Just sitting around, trying to make money, laying on the couch, watching TV.
Well, that's the thing. So, I mean, maybe, you know, this could be an inspiration for people, but we were talking about the boat captain thing earlier, and there are so many parallels between, you know, being a captain of a ship, and people use that as a metaphor, but, you know, the reality is, paint a picture. You're on the open seas, you know, the storm's welling up because your license is up to 100-ton vessel. So, you know, we're talking big stuff.
It's about 100-foot vessel.
You know, so this is not a little sort of rowing boat on your local pond. So when things start going wrong, presumably you can't just, you know, check out and go for a coffee somewhere. You're kind of in it.
You can't call the repairman when you're offshore, that's for sure. You know, I have been, you know, done thousands of miles offshore, and it's so exciting to be dazed from land and people on the one hand. But on the other, you're responsible for the lives of your crew, the vessel safety, and getting there, you know, wherever there is. So you really have to, what I say is plan, prepare, and provision for any journey. So leaving the dock, starting a business, it's all the same. You know, I've got checklists for when I leave my dock just to go on for a day sail. And, you know, I get teased by some of my friends who are on board saying, you know, Christine, we spend less time preparing to go to race to Hawaii, you know, a 2,000-mile race as opposed to a day sail. But, you know, it's the safety of my home and vessel and my people so that are important to me.
And I think that's so similar. There are so many parallels with business life because as an entrepreneur, I guess your clients, who are your clients? Who are is there like an average client or they all over the sort of spectrum, as it were?
Well, it's funny because in the sense they kind of are, because I work with people who are millennials all the way up to very seasoned professionals who are making a career transition. But what they have in common is that they're usually creative visionaries. They're entrepreneurs at heart. I mean, I spent 25 years as an entertainment attorney and left all that to start, grow, and expand 10 businesses in my lifetime. So, yes. And I've still got a few good years left. So we might get to 15 or 20 before I'm dead. But that's the idea, is that these are people with a vision and they have achieved some successes in their past. They have a track record. Maybe they're going into something new, or maybe they want to take what they have and create more with that. I've done that as well. And so their appetites are big, and they recognize quite consistently that the value of having support for that is, you know, immeasurable. because none of us do these things on our own. I didn't get to any of those accomplishments you cited by myself. You know, yes, I had to do the heavy lifting, but I had a lot of support, and it's kind of my thing. You know, I want to be that support for my entrepreneurial clients and colleagues and partners. And I recognize the value of that for myself and how I've been able to achieve because of that.
But I'm an entrepreneur and I don't need help because I know everything. And
well, you're the lucky one.
No. But you know, Christine, get out of my way. You're going to hold me back because this is my vision. And I, you know, and do you find, is that, so again, the metaphor. So I can drive this boat. How hard can it be? And then presumably I get out into the waters and I start thinking, oh my God, is that where you come in?
Well, I mean, think about it. Do you know any world-class anybody who doesn't have a coach in their corner? I mean, I don't like to use the word coach because it feels limiting to my skill set and background. So I call myself a professional navigator, but it's kind of the same thing. Who's in your corner, right? And so can you get to the world-classness that you are destined for, that you see for yourself on your own, thinking you can do it all? Because, you know, what's going to happen is you don't have any time for your family, your finances are stretched, you're not meeting your goals, you can't figure out what the thing is that's not clicking because your market target is so well defined, but it's not landing, your marketing's not landing. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that things can go wrong or can challenge you. And if you recognize, any of us, we recognize that we don't know all of it. We don't know all there is to know. And we also can't see our own eyebrows. So if you're trying to get that view, you're going to fail, right? You're never going to be able to do that. So having somebody just who's been there, who knows the road you're on, who knows what lies ahead for you and has navigated those traps a million times for clients and partners and on their own, that's the kind of person you want in your corner. And you know, it's a resonance, right?
No, that's exactly it. But the great thing is, I suppose, is that it's at the point that you realize that you actually need this type of assistance, or that you're too late. Well, I don't know. Is it too late, or is that a sign of someone who's actually smarter than your average bear, as it were? When people realize, hang on, you know, I've reached the end of my ability in this particular area. I've still got this vision, but you know, I'm struggling to think, how do I get over this hump? How do I get to the next stage?
Well, there's a spectrum, right? And so at different ends of the spectrum, I find that, you know, maybe I tend to gravitate towards startups a little bit more because at that point, we're all hopeful and excited and enthusiastic and everything is possible. And I know I'm going to raise money and I know this is going to be a huge hit. And you have all the belief systems and the optimism in place and the enthusiasm for it and the energy is there. So that's a ton of fun, right? And, you know, usually if you're going to venture out into a startup, you must have achieved something to think you can do this thing, right? Exactly. As opposed to being desperately needing something to do. And so that's one end of the spectrum. And I tend to work with a lot of startups and I've been involved in a lot of startups. And then along as the continuum goes and you get yourself launched and you're in business and you're struggling to get from where you are to the next level, whatever that is. And that's such a cliche, but it's also true at the same time. People end up getting stuck with what Napoleon Hill called 3 feet from gold. So it comes from an old story about a gold miner who spent years and years digging for gold and was sure he's going to find it, and then just finally gives up, sells his lot, and goes away. And the buyer is 3 feet away and discovers all the gold that he was, you know, because he couldn't stay with it. So that's the other pathway and intersection where we tend to find each other, my clients and myself. How do I get to that thing? Hopefully not when they've lost all hope. And then the other end of that spectrum is when, you know, the next piece is the growth phase, right? And with my last business, we took it from zero, 100% equity funding as a startup to a $10 million a year business in 4 years. Wow. So the growth, we were on that growth continuum so steeply. So we had to manage, you know, how to build our resources, build our team, not tax them, not hire for the highs. There's all those issues. So that's another piece of the spectrum. And then on the other end of that, when you become a mature company and your growth is plateaued and you are on the brink of going out of business, that might be too late by that point. Nobody has a magic wand.
No, you're right. And I think one of the key things that you mentioned, because the book that is now a bestseller, I think one of the key elements that you talk about there is this concept of mindset, this pure dogged determination and these characteristics. And it must be so valuable for someone at the beginning of a business, doesn't matter how many businesses they've done, to have this third party, this sort of different perspective. And how do you change people's mindsets, or do you just make them more aware of who they are?
It's really a process. And I do this in my workshops. From my book, I have the 7 tiers of small business success on my roadmap. And what we talk about is the self-concept. And there's really 3 parts to that. And that's internal. You know, it's the ideal self, the person you admire the most, your self-image, how you see yourself. And then the most important one is the self-esteem. So that's formed when we're very young, and how we were loved and how we were criticized and rewarded. And, you know, a lot of us of a certain age, especially, you know, that maybe not be so true for millennials, because they're loved just for who they are. And that wasn't how I was raised. But we're dealing with our self-esteem issues, right?
Yes.
And so we have to become self-aware and get on the path for that and take responsibility. And how do we do that? The most important thing, and Napoleon Hill and Andrew Carnegie conducted a study years and years ago. They interviewed thousands of people, and, you know, Andrew Carnegie was richer than Bill Gates and, you know, whoever combined. I mean, they were just the richest people in the world. And they interviewed people that were successful, thousands of them, and they had 3 characteristics that were common among all of these successful people. And that was skills, knowledge, and attitude. And attitude made up 85% of their success. So if you recognize that, and how do we adjust our attitudes with our thoughts? So if we recognize that our thoughts, most people look at our results, and that tells us how we feel. So we have a bad quarter or a bad year, and we don't feel good about it, and we let that dictate what we do next, because our thoughts lead to our actions, lead to our results. And so when we make that shift and we recognize we take this reverse and change our thoughts and how we feel about what's happening around us and the actions we take, that leads to success. So
let's say,
we have the power.
So let's say I'm an entrepreneur, and I completely understand, and everything you say is resonating madly here. So I'm an entrepreneur. I've got this idea. I've had limited success. It's beginning to work. Then I hit a roadblock, something I wasn't anticipating, probably because I don't have enough experience. Then self-esteem collapses, fear of failure kicks in. So you would come along and you would, show me the fact that I'm not alone, that this is a well-trodden path. It's not magic. It's just, look, this is, you know, how do you deal with it? How do you get me over that hump of feeling that it's the end of the world, you know?
Well, I know this has never happened to you, so we wouldn't be talking about you, right?
But it's a friend of mine. Exactly.
Somebody I know, because I've never had those days where I couldn't get out of bed. You know, but in the past, when I didn't know any better, I would definitely be slowed down. And there are still days where, so a few things, right? You have to have practices that are serving of you in all the ways that you need. So you've got to be working on your health and wellness, your close personal relationships, family and intimacy, and as well as, you know, your business. So if you have those practices in place, and I work very closely with senior media and entertainment executives. I facilitate roundtables, and these are very experienced, accomplished, seasoned professionals in transition. So we talk about those days when you can't get up. And it's the same whether you're running a business and hitting a roadblock, or you've been out of work for 6 months to a year. Because if you're a multi-six-figure person, that can take 18 months to find the next position. That you have to have practices that you do for those days when it just feels like nothing's moving, right? And so, number one, not taking it personally, getting into that rhythm of talk, self-talk, that this is not personal, there's a resonance here. And, you know, I came across a quote that for me, it was kind of a spiritual quote, but I love it so much that I've been sharing it in a couple of venues that I've been in. And it is, "You don't know enough to worry." That's the God's truth. And so if you think about that, if there's purpose to everything, and I like to believe so, because you know, I was on a call today and we were talking about everything is in motion. It's either going forward or going backwards. And I said, I take issue with the idea that we're going backwards. It says maybe sometimes we're zagging instead of zigging, right? Yeah. In sailing, there are no straight lines. We're zigzagging every time we try to get anywhere.
Yes.
So that's the nature of business, right? Every business has common challenges and you're going to bump up against them. That's why we have that spectrum of startup, 3 feet from gold to growth to plateau, because this is what everybody faces. Nobody has it easy and no one goes for a straight line. They're even talking about Apple these days, like it's not the company it once was, you know, like they're seeing their best days, which I doubt, but you know, so go ahead.
So that's great because in other words, so now Christine, you've put my mind at rest. I realize that this is just a temporary hump. But the other thing that you bring is not just this kind of, you know, don't worry, the feel good factor. So it's that ability to say, okay, now you've got yourself out of bed, which is a good thing. You know, let's focus on the detail of how you're going to execute this strategy of yours. So, you know, this is not just a spiritual sort of gig. It's like, okay, let's take that to one side. You know, congratulations for making it into the office. Now let's focus bit by bit, detail by detail on your business plan.
That's only the first tier, right, is mindset, because we do have to get out of bed. We have to have something in our going through our minds to keep us moving. But it's the rest of it that's execution, right? So the next step of the tier system is what do I have to concentrate on? Because when you're a solopreneur in particular, or even if, you know, in my last business, we had I had 150 people reporting to me, but I had a partner who's the CEO. And at the same time, it was very lonely in my role. You know, my partner was out there developing the millions of dollars of business and servicing the business. And I was running the team and building from scratch every system that we had to scale. Yeah. And so it can be very, very lonely. But being able to recognize in that overwhelm that there's really only five things we have to do. That we have to generate leads. We have to convert. We have to increase our transactions. We have to look at our pricing and we have to look at our profitability, meaning the costs and how we're what we're spending and how our margins are looking. So if we narrow down the overwhelm into five areas and then we take a look and see how, if from Pareto's law, right, the 80-20 rule, 80% of our results are coming from 20% of our activity. And so we narrow these down to incremental change in any of only these five areas, the results are exponential. So I actually have this really cool profit acceleration software tool that I do online with clients and with prospects that I can show them with their own numbers. There's 26 data points and we can just pick a few, three or four, and change the numbers just ever so slightly. And we get a graphic chart representation of the difference and increase of revenue, profit, and business value. And it's really pretty extraordinary. And just a truism.
Sure. And because that is so critical, because overwhelm is a real problem, because particularly when you start getting some success and some traction as an entrepreneur or if you're running your business, then it creates a whole lot of other issues. And the ability to say, hang on, that's valuable. That's a waste of my time. Sometimes your face is so close to the coal face, as it were, that you, as you say, you can't see your own eyebrows. So this, right. I guess that your experience in saying, hang on, do that, don't do that, must be invaluable.
Well, and we continue on the continuum, right? So, you know, you've touched on time, right? How do we manage our time? Do we have the right tool set for that? You know, there's books written about this. And are we, you know, distracting? We have a common friend, I believe, who actually had to put himself on a Facebook diet. There's an app for that now that you can actually restrict yourself from going on Facebook. So he had to disappear himself, you know, and yes. I've gotten too busy. I don't have time for it. But once in a while, I'll find myself, you know, I need a break. I need to unwind my mind. I'm going to go on Facebook and see what's happening in my community. Yes. And then I find like 20 minutes have gone by. But that's not what I intended. Right.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
You know, are we doing the revenue generating activities? Are we doing the most important, most urgent things? And are we doing them in service to our vision? And have we clearly defined that and communicated that and shared it with our team? So these are all pieces and parts of the roadmap to small business success that I've written about.
And again, this is, again, all distilled from 25 plus years of experience. And these are common threads that you've found from all of the people that you've consulted for and worked with. So this is stuff that actually is driven by real life experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I like to say to my creative visionaries is you are the idea person, right? You've got this huge vision, and most of my clients do. They're all wanting something really big. And I'm here to lay the foundation, put the walls up, the floors, the ceilings, the doors, to really put structure and ground your vision onto a solid foundation. So all of these pieces are really critical to having that solid foundation and building up from there.
Because as a visionary, I mean, sometimes do you find that your clients, they lose their vision because there are so many other things pulling them from side to side? And again, a bit like the navigator, is your role to sort of try and keep them on track?
Well, it is, yes. And on the one hand, on the other hand, I actually know, we have moderately successful and successful business people who've launched their businesses without a business plan, you know, and many people do. They have it in their gut. If they can put the pieces together, and some people can just by self-funding, or, you know, they've got family and friends, they've got means, they've got credit cards, whatever it takes. And they launch themselves because they see it and it's all in their head, that they don't ever clearly define their vision. And it's so critical. So no matter what stage of business you're in, I always make sure that I put people through what I call my clarity module. So that's something that I bring into my coaching relationships is, you know, get a clearly defined vision, revisit it periodically, make sure your team knows what it is, you know, put it on your whiteboard, make it somewhere, your mission statement, your purpose. This is why I do. Because if you don't really understand your core values and what drives you, if you're really, you know, putting something together that's all about the money, but in fact, it's causing harm in the world, you know, you're a drug dealer, or you're putting out some food that's really bad for you, or something that is harmful, it's going to get to you if it goes against your core values, if that's important to you. It's not for everybody. So that's why you keep track of these things.
And how important, you know, that small three-letter word, why.
You know, exactly.
How much of a cornerstone is that in a business?
Well, to me, it's everything. And I always start all my talks on the start with why, right, from Simon Sinek's book. And he talks about Martin Luther King and Steve Jobs and the Wright brothers, all very different creative people, had knew one thing, which is you can't get people engaged with an idea or a movement without knowing your why. And that's the thing that is missing. It's, you know, I read a piece that I bring into my talks also from, I presume he's a millennial, in Inc. magazine, where he said the one word that gets millennials in trouble every single time, and that is the why. Because at a certain age or a certain level of accomplishment, we stopped asking. We may never have been conditioned to ask because we had to just get to work and start making money and pay the mortgage and, you know, put the kids through school and all of that. So we didn't give ourselves the luxury, and we don't take the time to do it. But the young people are there to teach us because they want to know why every time. Why are you asking me that? Why are you doing it this way? Why does it have to be done this way? And there's nothing nefarious going on, but it can rankle you if you're not asking, or somebody seems like they're questioning your methods and something that you've been doing for 30 or 40 years that suddenly you never gave yourself permission to. It brings that gap. It makes it go wider. And I've been in these rooms with senior people and, you know, recognizing that I don't want to be asked. I don't want to be questioned. Just do as I say.
Exactly.
But we are being taught to ask why and to know our why every step of the way.
But does that also give us more insight into our target market? So your ability to ask the entrepreneur, do you know what your why is? Does that then lead you on to say, you know, do you know what your target market is?
Absolutely. It's the next tier of my system is defining that, because, you know, until you really understand who you're here to serve, right? And for most of us, it's ourselves, right? There isn't a great idea out there that didn't come from within, you know, the Airbnb guys. They wanted to find a place to stay and they needed money. And they were in San Francisco where there's no places that are affordable. Oh, we got an air mattress in the closet. Let's pull that out, right? It comes from within. The people we're meant to serve are generally us. Yes. We got to be able to get outside of ourselves and see it. So we've got to know who are the others like us, because we're the ones we're going to message and they're going to hear it and they're going to need and want what we have to offer because they know us, because they are us.
And do you find that the strategy and the system that you bring, the importance of having systems, structure, in something which is very creative? I mean, is that something that is embraced by your clients?
Well, that's why they have me, right? Because yes. I'm about that, right? And I'm there to nurture and support the creativity, right? Because we don't want to squelch that. You know, my business partners are full of ideas. And, you know, sometimes it can feel to the detriment of the team, the finances, my own energy level for it. You know, I want to support. I don't want to be the mommy who says no, you know, and that's not even my job to do. It's really to underscore consequence. So if we do this now, here's what will happen. Here's what can happen. Here's the way we shore up against that, right? Yes. If we set sail during the hurricane, the chances are we could lose our rig, right? Yeah. We might die in the process, or we might just lose the rig and be floating at sea for a while, yeah. You know, which is what business can feel like without a good navigator and without the provision and the tools you need. So, so being able to both harness the creative energy and not squelch it is a fine balance that I feel like I have honed over the years, and I'm only getting better at it.
Now, that's the thing. And again, I completely subscribe to this. I think it's absolutely critical that you give structure, that you allow creativity to be the flesh that clothes the bones of the business. But, I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm saying, Christine, I want to be a billionaire. You know, and so
it's a great goal. Yeah. It's a great goal. And, you know, what we say about goals, right? The SMART goals, they have to be, clearly defined, measurable, realistic, time bound. You know, we want to make sure that if we're at the less than six figure range, that being a billionaire within the next year is maybe a little unrealistic, because your mind can't get to work on that.
Yes.
Right. I'll give you an example of a goal that was both SMART and so achievable that it was accomplished way ahead of schedule. And I hear stories of this over and over again. And about a year and a half ago, I started putting them. I write my goals down every day.
Yep.
And I even repeat. And so a year and a half ago, I said, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to start my book by the end of 2016. And I'm going to have it out on the market. Oh, actually, I was going to get a ghostwriter, I think, because I didn't really want to do the writing. And I'm going to have it on the market within a year, by 2017. The end of 2017. So we're 6 months into the year. I got my book out at the end of 16 and it became a bestseller within a day and a half.
Wow.
And so that was a good year ahead of schedule. And I actually never found my ghostwriter. So, I had to do it.
Yeah, I believe the book was published by, you were picked up by a firm, weren't you?
Yes, a small publishing house. Yes. And I did the marketing for it,
yes.
With the help of our great community and, yes. Getting some great tips for how to do that. So, yeah, I was very well supported in that because, again, as I said, that's what I'm all about. But it is wonderful to see if you commit to something and you get your mind working on it and then suddenly the resources come in. You know, I was determined to get this book out. I had a vision for it. I wanted it to be a bestseller because that adds a little something to it. And before you knew it, I met people that led me down a path where I understood how and got some of the pieces in place and people supported it. And I knew what to ask for. And that's how we did it.
But to many people, that seems absolutely impossible. How do you, write a book? How do you get it to be a bestseller? How do you publish it? How do you get people to buy it? And I guess your process is say, well, let's break that down And so you're helping your clients understand that if you take these goals and start wrapping logic around them and putting timescales and breaking them up into something that's achievable on a day-to-day basis. And that must be hugely valuable for people that want to achieve sales targets or growth, but don't know how they're going to get there.
Right, because you can't, you know, when I got started with my book, and even as I was finishing it, I didn't say, I'm going to write a bestseller, right? Because that would have frozen me into inertia. I would not have been able to get started. I wouldn't have been able to finish. And, you know, having now a book out, it is shocking to me how many people that are hugely successful, far more well-known than I am, who don't have books yet.
Yes.
Who know that inside them there's a book, but they just haven't gotten to it, or they're not finished, or it's in the closet. And, you know, there's all these reasons. And I, for all these years, thought I had a book too, and just never got it done. So, you know, I didn't set out, just like you aren't setting out to be a billionaire, you're setting out to finish.
Yes.
Because that separates you from 90% of the people out there who think they have a book, right? And then maybe you start to get it marketed so that people will hear about it and maybe even buy it. And then, oh, now you're a bestseller. So you're marketing your book and it's out there. And that separates you from the 9 of the last 10%. And then you become a bestseller and you've done it, but it's a journey.
And again, the great thing is that you're teaching people how to do it from the position of having done it.
Well, that helps, right?
Yeah. So it's not just theory, but how do you find the time? How do you manage your time? How do you, with all these things that you're doing, with the businesses that you're growing, do you have a time machine? I'm just asking.
Don't I wish, right? Well, you know, I have learned over the years, because I have worked day and night, and I don't believe that there's really any shortcuts to getting, you know, where we want to go without having to put in the time. And I have had jobs and businesses, and by jobs I mean businesses, where I've worked 24/7. I've been on call at funerals and on vacations and, you know, all of that. And what I've learned in that process is that I was letting things suffer when I couldn't go to a meal and not have my phone handy and be ready to respond to an emergency, that wasn't right for me. I didn't want to sacrifice the balance of family life or exercise and wellness and other things for that. And so it's being able to get on top of what is most urgent and important. What is important, but maybe not urgent, like family time or exercise time? What is not urgent, not important at the other end? And what maybe feels like it's urgent, but it's not really important, like emails?
Yeah.
You know, so in this bottom half of this quadrant, which I bring into my workshops when I do them, you know, the urgent, not important, got to get rid of it. Facebook, social media, that's playtime. You know, it's not putting ads out or actually promoting our business in some fashion. So, you know, the things that watching television quite often that isn't like the 20 minutes of falling asleep time or whatever it is that how you use it, that's got to get off the schedule, right?
Yeah.
In order to have more time. And then, you know, the stuff that we consider urgent, sometimes it's picking up the phone, right? Although people aren't using phone calls as much, but responding to emails and text messages. They actually do studies now that, you know, texting is the new marketing device that people are starting to experiment with, and Facebook private messages, because those are getting responses.
Yes.
So we're now being conditioned. First, we were picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Then we were typing our emails and responding to those for hours and hours as a distraction to growing our business. And now we're taking our text messages and answering Facebook private messages. And all of these things keep us from working on our business and in our business, which are the two things we need to be doing as entrepreneurs.
And I guess that's very similar to what you were saying at the beginning when we were talking about businesses where the principles react to results. So in other words, you're constantly reacting to this flow of messaging. So you teach people how to turn the tables, as it were, and become the master of messaging. And is that one of the, I think that's one of the tiers, that's one of the key elements of your 7-tier program.
Yeah, because once you've gotten to that point where you can scale, what happens is you sacrifice, right? we've gotten through, we've got our vision, we got our mindset, we've focused on the five, you know, step profit formula. We've got our target market, we're making conversions, all of those things in place. We're clearly got our vision on track. And now we have no time. Our families are suffering, our personal relationships, our health and wellness, we're gaining weight or we're not eating well, you know, we're not exercising and getting out in the air, you know, we're spending too much time in front of a screen. So all of these things are critical to actually having the success that feels good,
yeah.
Right? It's not just measured by a bank account, because at the end of the day, that's an empty goal for most of us. And so really understanding that you get rid of the bottom half of that quadrant of how we spend our time, and knowing that what's important is to make sure, you know, I became a morning person because I resisted it for years. And the truth is I have too much to do, but I am not going to sacrifice getting up and swimming every day. That's my crack, you know? Yeah. So I go out there no matter what time that means. Luckily in Southern California, it's easier because we have warmer weather.
Yes.
But I make sure that I don't sacrifice that hour of my day, no matter what my schedule is. And I don't control my calendar so much because I got links out and it's, and other people can schedule me. So I don't know necessarily what's going to be taken away from me. So I have to be vigilant about the time I'm keeping to myself. So those are blocked out times. And it's the same with family. You know, being with your children, watching your children grow, those are really important things. And they're the first things to get sacrificed because you're so busy.
Yeah.
And the truth is there's a lot more time in our schedule and in our lives than we realize because we don't have good time management practices.
And I guess everyone thinks that they're different. But so you might have someone who's working on the cure for cancer, for example, who's this, you know, rocket scientist with a brain the size of a small planet. But still, you're able to say, look, you know, if you make these tweaks here and change that and do this, then suddenly your life will be completely different. Is that these are the sort of changes you can make?
Well, that's, you know, on the one hand, absolutely. And on the other hand, what we need to understand about ourselves and our clients, if we're working with somebody, is what really drives them. What is the ultimate in the diamond map of their lives? What's a perfect 10? Because some people are just driven by their work and they don't care about the sacrifices they're making. They may not have families, but if you do have a family and you're driven by your work, then just know that you've sacrificed them. And is that the way you want to be remembered? Is that the legacy that you want to leave? So underscoring that, identifying and taking responsibility for that is the job that I feel I have to facilitate. Because yes, it may be very important work curing cancer, and it may require a solid 10, 12, 16 hour day, but know that that's being done to the sacrifice of your health and wellness, of your family life, potentially other opportunities, and so on.
Which again, using the sailing metaphor, is me as the entrepreneur, the captain, the CEO, basically heading for rocks.
Right.
And you as a navigator saying, you know, you may be adding an extra few knots or whatever, but it ain't going to end well.
Right. And is that how you want to die? You know, is that how you want your legacy to remain? Is that the kind of relationships you want to have with your family when your kids are grown, or to be single again, you know?
Yeah, but ultimately for the business though, it's bad for the business. It's not about saying, right. Well, I could say, well, it's okay because I'll achieve my goal. I'll be a billionaire and I'll sacrifice everything because in that moment I'm insane to the point of being so mission focused. But what you're saying is that actually your business will be better if you do these things, if you listen to how I can help you.
Yeah. And it's not even restricted to the billionaires, right? I've worked with a number of very creative, very driven, very successful entrepreneurs in the multiple seven-figure ranges and beyond that are growing well, and they're highly functioning. You know, they get up, they're busy, they're outdoing, they're creating new, and it's always innovating. And then they start to, oh, there's pain, I have surgery, my health is declining, you know, so the quality of life diminishes. Yeah. And then there's only so much you can keep driving forward in your business. Sure. And then you inflict that on your team. So your team suffers and then people leave you, your resources go away, your human resource, you know, you can't hold on to good people. Yes. There's a lot of different ways that this manifests, this drive without balance that manifests to destroy your business and your life.
But again, as a CEO of this business, whatever size it is, you don't tend to see these things because you're so focused on what you think is the key, you know, achievable or the key milestones for your business.
Right. It gets into a funnel vision, right? And that's why I call myself the navigator, because on a racing vessel, which I've done many years as a professional and otherwise, having the driver of the boat is the owner, the skipper, and I'm the navigator who's keeping my eye on the wind conditions, the course, the competitors, the condition of the boat, the crew execution, absolutely, all of those things. And they're constantly changing, to be able to give that information and to sort through it and feed the skipper what to do, how to move forward.
Yes.
And getting to where they want to go.
But and again, so from your perspective, just do you not now feel that with this, it's not a formula is a word that doesn't describe in any way what you have. It's much bigger than that. It's a distillation of 25 years of experience in all sorts of different areas. But do you not feel now that this is a message that you really want to get out? So how are you getting this message out to people?
Well, as I said, I've been, I have my book in the marketplace. I've been speaking a few times a month. These days I've been in workshops and in front of organizations. I'm mentoring, a number of startup incubators. I have an online business advisory system.
Yes.
That puts a lot of the strategies, tactics, and resources into the hands of the people who might not be able to afford my one-on-one services or my group activities. And then I make myself available as best I can to help those people who are really ready for that kind of radical up-leveling that I can facilitate for them.
Absolutely. So there is a pathway, as it were. So if I'm cash constrained and I'm thinking, God, there's no way I can afford you on a one-to-one basis, I can still access these teachings, these learnings in a structured way. And is that, is that through your website, or is that something you're building at the moment, or is that something available now?
I have a platform that's available now. I have a couple of them, one for startups and one for ongoing small businesses, that gets people the tools they need on a 52-week basis, so that information is all there, but it's fed to you in a way that you can actually digest.
Okay.
While at the same time, it gives you the systems on a customized roadmap that tells you where to focus first to get you some quick cash. Because that's what most people are at, right? What do I have to do to make immediate results?
Yes.
Because my journey is a long-term journey, right? To work with me closely, and we need to see results. So my Business Breakthrough Pro platform allows business owners to have these tools at their fingertips when it's appropriate and in the right timing to be able to execute and grow their business.
And how do people get in contact with you? How do they get the benefit of this information?
So businessbreakthroughpro.com is one of my websites, and christineparakis.com is another website of which I can be reached. And of course, I'm on Amazon with the Entrepreneur's Essential Roadmap, is the Amazon book that's available as well.
And it's great. And I can tell you, I've looked through the seven-tier system, and I'm nodding my head going, how have I been so stupid? You know, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? You know, why didn't I read this stuff 20 years ago? Then, so I'm
why didn't I? Right. I mean, you know, we've all learning the way we learn, and I consider myself a warrior on the front line. I've made all the mistakes. I've witnessed them with my clients. I've navigated clients through them. I've seen the challenges. I've seen how bad it can go. And I'm here to say it doesn't have to go that way for you. And so finding the easier way, getting there faster and more efficiently, is really what I'm all about.
Well, that's fantastic. And Christine, it's just been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. And I really recommend that people check out your site. They look at check out your book and read the business breakthrough. I'll put it all on the show notes. Thank you again for being such a brilliant guest. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Matthew. I've had such a pleasure chatting with you. And I really appreciate your valuable insights as well and how easily you grasp what we're trying to do here.
That's pretty
Thanks
great.
So much.